Okay, we're up to Erev and Daf Yedalad. We're at the bottom of Yud Gimel Amid Bet. The Mishnah Matnitin Korah Amru Rachva Kedei Lekabel Ariach VeAriach Etzir Levena Shel Shlosha Tfachim. Right, the Korah, the crossbeam that we spoke about, it has to be wide enough to hold a brick, and a brick is or an Ariach, a small brick, is about half of a normal size brick of three Tfachim, meaning it's a brick of Tefach and a half. Dial Korah Shtei Rachva Tefach Kedei Lekabel Ariach VeRachva. Right, and it's sufficient that a Korah is one Tefach wide in order to hold such a brick. Rachva kedei lekabel ariach, bria kedei lekabel ariach. Right, it needs to both be wide enough to hold the brick and also strong enough to hold the brick. Right, it can't just be wide enough in theory, but not strong enough lemaisa. It needs to actually be able to hold up the brick. Rabbi Yehuda omer rachva af bishein bria. That Rabbi Yehuda says that no, it just has to be wide enough, even if it is not, even if it's not strong enough. But a normal thing that would be that wide could hold it up. Then it would be fine. Haydash shakashu shakanim. Right, and if it was, no matter the material that it was made out of, whether it was made out of straw, it was made out of reeds, right, we still see it as if, in theory, it was made out of metal, as long as it's wide enough to hold up such a brick. Akuma, ro'inu taki ilo hi pshuta, agula ro'inu taki ilo hi merubat, kol sheyesh be'ekefeo shalosha tefachim, yesh bo rochav tefach. Right, crooked or bent, rather, we see it as if it were straight. If it was circle, we see it as if it were square, right? And this is the general rule that anything that has that has three tefachim in its circumference is going to have one tefach by its diameter. So that's how we measure if a circle is wide enough. Gemara, tefach, tefach mechzabai, right? Why did you tell me I only need a tefach? Clearly, I need a tefach and a half if it's going to hold half a brick. Kevah the rach of the kabal tefach ve'idach chetzi tefach malbin le betina mashu mehai gisa mashu mehai gisa kaima, right? No, so because it's a tefach and a half, but you can put it on the tefach wide korah, the brick of the tefach wide korah, and then you would hold it in place with, you know, some sort of clay on this side, clay on that side. It would stand, so that's sufficient, even though the beam itself is not a tefach and a half. Amar Rav Bar Rav Huna, korah she'amru tzrich shtei briyah kedei lekabel ariach, u'mamida korah en tzrichah she'ei briyah kedei lekabel korah ve'ariach. Right? So, when it comes to the korah that was mentioned has to be strong enough to hold a small brick. However, the things that hold up the korah, they don't have to be strong enough to hold the korah and the small brick. Meaning, what we said was that obviously the things holding up the korah have to hold up the korah. Lemaisa, they have to be there or the korah is going to fall. However, the korah, to be strong enough, has to be able to hold up a brick. But the things holding up the korah, do they have to hold up a korah and a small brick? Right? Or is it sufficient that the korah could hold up a small brick in theory? The supports of the korah do hold up the korah, but the supports of the korah don't have to hold up the korah and the small brick. Rav Chisda Amar, Echad Zeh V'Echad Zeh Tzrich Shubarin Kedei Lekabel HaKorah VeAriach. Says, no, regardless, the supports have to be able to hold, both Lemaisa have to be able to hold the korah and the small brick on top of it. Amar Rav Sheshet, Hiniach Korah Al Gabei Mavoy, Uparasa Lemach Right, so if you put a korah, if you put a crossbeam and then you hang a mat over that crossbeam, then you lift up the mat doesn't reach within three tefachim of the ground, you have a problem. Why? Because you don't have a korah, you don't have a crossbeam, and you don't have a wall. You don't have a mechitza. Korah ein kan daha mikasya, mechitza ein kan daha vila mechitza shagdiyam bokimba. Right? It's not a korah because the korah is covered. Right? The korah is a halachic mechanism, but it's covered up, you don't see it. And it's not even a wall, because it's a hanging mat, it's not even a wall, because anything, the way that we constitute a wall is what we say is anything that if goats were passing by it, it could just walk right through it. It would not prevent those goats from passing by. Then it would. It's not considered a wall. So even though the korah without any mat is a korah because you can see it, once you cover it up by a machatzelet, by a mat, you need to hope that it's a strong enough wall. But now if you just made it a weak wall that covered up the korah, you have nothing. Tan rabbanan korah yotze mikotel zeve enor nagah mikotel zeve chen shnei korah dotchal yotze mikotel zeve chal yotze mikotel zeve enor nagod zo bezo pachom shlosha ein tzarich lavi korah acheret shlosha tzarich lavi korah acheret. Let's say you have two korah that are two korot that a korah that comes out of the side of the wall, let's say, and does not reach the other side of the wall, right? So there's a gap between the edge of the korah and the wall. Or alternatively, two korot that come out right next to each other on the sides of the wall, right opposite each other on the sides of the wall, but they don't reach each other in the middle. So you don't have a korah stretching the entire length. If there's less than three tvachim between the two korahs themselves that meet in the middle, or between the korah and the wall that it's going towards, then you don't need an additional korah. The one you have is fine. But if there's there's more than three tvachim, then you need an additional korah in order to permit carrying in that area. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Amar Pachomim Arba in Tzarech Lavi Korah Acheret, Arba Tzarech Lavi Korah Acheret. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says the same thing, except we look at four tvachim, not three tvachim. V'chein shtei korot amatimot, zo bezo kedei lekabel ariach, v'lo bezo kedei lekabel ariach. Im mikablot ariach l'rach botefach, in Tzarech Lavi Korah Acheret, v'im lav Tzarech Lavi Korah Acheret. Similarly, if you have two thinner beams right next to each other, and neither one of them could have held up this brick, but together it has the necessary width to hold up the brick together, you would not need to bring an additional korah. However, if even together it does not have the necessary width to hold up the beam, then you would have to bring an additional korah. We don't look at the width of whether or not the brick can sit there because of the width of it. We look at the length. Can the brick sit there based on the length of both of these things? If yes, then you don't need an additional korah. But if the brick can't sit on top of there if the brick cannot sit across the length of the korot together, then you have to bring an additional korah. Right. So if you have, let's say, you have one on top of the other that are jutting out on opposite sides. Right. So if you have, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you see them basically as if they are perfectly aligned because they essentially do cover the necessary area. Right, even though they're not directly opposite each other, they do cover the necessary area, so we see them as if they're kind of stretched across the entire alleyway, as is necessary, unless one of them is over 20 amot or one of them is below 10 tfachim. Then we're not mitzdar of them because then they're in a place that they're not kosher to be. Right, Abaye says that Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, holds like his father Rabbi Yehuda in one matter, but argues on him in a different matter. He holds by roi, right, that we consider something as if it's one way, even if it isn't, if that thing is fit to be that way. Whereas he argues on Rabbi Yehuda in the following case. Rabbi Yehuda says that something's allowed to be beyond 20 amon, whereas Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says it cannot be beyond 20 amon. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Rechava Afal Pisha Ena Bria. Rabbi says that if it's wide, even though it's not sturdy enough to actually hold a brick, matni le Rabbi Yehuda lechia bar Rav kami de Rav rachva afal pisha eina beria amar le itnaya rachva ubria. Right, so we said was that they taught the Mishnah to Rabbi Yehuda. They taught Rabbi Yehuda as follows, right? That if it was wide enough, even if it's not sturdy enough, and they said to him, Rather, it's like this, right? Rabbi Yehuda was teaching Chia, the son of Rav, in front of Rav, that which he held, which it was wide enough but not strong enough, then it's still sufficient. And then Rav said, teach my son the following, that if it's wide enough, it still needs to be sturdy enough. Rama Rabbi Eli, Amar Rav, Rachba Arba Afapi She'ena Ruria, Rachba Arba Shani. Wait, but 1 second, didn't we have quoted in the name of Rav that if something is four tvachim wide, even if it is not sturdy enough, it's still kosher? Yeah, that's because it's four tvachim wide. Four tvachim wide is different than three tvachim wide. If it's three tvachim wide, it needs to be strong enough to hold. But if it's four tvachim wide, it no longer needs to be strong enough to hold the maisa. Haital Shalkash, if it was made of straw, Maiga Mashmalan, Damri and Roi and Hainu Hach, right? What did you want to teach me? That we see that we consider one thing as if it were the other thing because in theory it's fit to be, it meets kind of a minimal criteria. So we see the straw beam as if it were made of metal. But we already teach that we consider things, right? We already said that even if something can't hold a brick, lemaise, right? If it's wide enough to hold a brick, we say, well, it's fit to hold a brick, even if it's lemaise, it can't hold the brick, right? So what new thing are you teaching me? Are we teaching straw? Ma'aratema, b'mina amrinan, shalom b'mina lo amrinan, kamashmalan. You may have said that we only say we consider one thing like a different thing if it was fit to be that way, if it meets a minimum criteria, when it's the same material. So if you have a metal beam, right, that could hold a brick, and then a metal beam of the same size that could not hold a brick, right, so then you can use the one of the same size that could hold the brick because something of its size and of its mean metal could hold the brick, right? Even if that one that you're using could not hold the brick. But maybe you want to say with straw, you can't apply the same thing because with straw, something made of its material couldn't hold the brick at all. So what we see from there is that even if it's a different material, we still say that we consider it as if it could hold a brick because its width would hold the brick. Akuma roi notaki ilo pshuta. Right? If it's bent, we see it as if it is straight. Pshuta, isn't that obvious? Kamash malon, kid the rabbi's era. And we need that for that which Rabbi Zeira teaches. Dam Rabbi Zeira, he betoch amavoy v'akumuta chutz lamavoy, he betoch asrim v'akumuta lamala b'asrim, he lamala me'asara akumuta lamata me'asara. Ro'in kol shegilu yinata l'akumuta ve'ein ben zelazeh shlosha ein tzarech lavi kora acheret v'imlav tzarech lavi kora acheret. Right, we need it for the following teaching. Right, basically that Rabbi Zeira teaches as follows: if the a korah is within the mavoi, right? But the bent part, it bends outside of the mavoi. Or if it's within 20 and it bends up out of 20, or if it's above 10 tvachim off the ground and it bends down into 10 tvachim off the ground, right? So we see it as if, we see it as if the bent part were gone, right? And if there is not 3 tvachim, between where the non-bent part leaves off and the area that you needed to reach picks up, then you don't need to bring an additional korah. However, if once you remove the bent part, there's now a gap that is too large between the end of the korah and where it needs to reach, then you have to bring an additional korah. Hanami pshita, wasn't that also obvious? Yibitoch mavoy vakmuta lechutz lamavoy itzrichale mauritema lechush dilma atinam juche bachar kamash melan. Right? No, so we really need it for the following case. If the straight part was within the mavoi and the bent part was out of the mavoi, that's the case where we needed to teach it. Because I may have said, well, if it's in the mavoi and the bent part is out of the mavoi, I may just look at the korah and assume that, or make a mistake, and actually carry outside the mavoi because that's where the korah is over, right? So I may have said that that's too risky. I don't want to teach that you're allowed to use we can't use a korah that's bent and bent outside the mavoi, because then people might come to carry out of the mavoi. Kamash Milan, we don't say that, and that's why we need to teach this din, right? Of how we see a bent one, a bent korah, as if it's straight. Agula ro'ino taki ilu himiruba. If it's circle, we see it like it's square. Hatu lamali. Why didn't you teach me this? We already teach the din by considering. Seifa itzrichalei kol sheyesh be'ekef or shloshet tvachim yesh bo'rochav tefach. Now, we're going to teach you the seifa, which is that anything that has a circumference of 3 tvachim has a diameter of 1 tefach. Minahani mili. And how do I know that? I'm Rabbi Yochanan, I'm a Kravi. Astayam matzuk eser ba'ama misvato ad svat agol saviv v'chamesh ba'ama kumato v'kav shloshim ba'ama yasov oto saviv. Well, in the mikvah that Shlomo constructed, he gave explicit measurements that it was 30 around, that the circular mikvah was 30 amot around its edge, and 10 across, that's 3 to 1. V'ha ikas fato, but wait a second, you're not considering the rim around the mikvah that also took up area, so it's not exactly 3 to 1. It isn't, by the way. And actually, there's a really cool raya the grub brings in of to what detail Shlomo Melech knew pi. It's brilliant. Amar of Papa, not for now. Amar of Papa, svato svat perach shoshan kativ bay tichtiv ovio tefach svato kemase kos perach shoshan alpaim bat yachil. So regarding the rim, we basically taught that it was like. That the rim was like the rim of a cup, right? And like flower petals, right? It was minuscule. It was very, very tiny. The ha'ika mashu, but still, it had something, right? It was still of some measurement. Kika chashiv megavayka chashiv. No, so maybe you just calculated from the inside of the rim and not from the outside of the rim. Tanya Rabbi Chia, yam sha'asa shlomo, hayam machzik me v'chamisha mikvetara. Right? We taught in a braita that, Rabbi Chia taught in a braita that the body of water that Shlomo constructed could hold 150 kosher mikvahs. Mikdi mikvah kama havei Abraham saw. Ritani Avrachat Abser Marayim Bemei mikvah. Right? And how big is a mikvah? It's 40 saw. And how do we know that? Because it says that you have to wash your flesh in water in the main mikvah. Kol Bsaro. It says all of your flesh. Maim Shekol Gufo Oleben. To teach you that it needs to be water that all of your body can fit in at once. V'chamehen Amal Amal Barum Shoshalosh Amal. So how much is the average, how much water or how much space can the average size person fit all of his body in? It's one amma wide, one amma deep, and 3 amot tall. V'shiru chamim me mikvar b'imsa. And the chamim assess that's about 40, to fit that, that's about 40 sa of water. Kama havulahu, chamesh mea garmide letzlat mea, lemea lechamim shim chamishim, barba mea v'chamishim sagya. So now, how many mikvahs could have fit in Shlomo's sea that he constructed? Well, let's see. The sea, we know, was 500 square amot, or cubit amot, rather, right? And So basically, the Gemara assesses it like this, right? 300 cubic amots, right, would equal 100 mikvahs, right? Based on the Arba'im Sa', right? So 300 cubic amots would equal 100 mikvahs. 300 cubic amots can hold 100 times 40 Sa', right? And the additional 150 cubic amot, and now we're up to 450, fits another 50 sets of Arba'im Sa', which is another 50 mikvot, right? So now we have 450 amot, and yet 150 mikvots, right? However, Shlomo's Sea was made, was 500 cubic amots, right? If it's 500 cubic amot, then seemingly it could fit even more mikvahs, because 150 mikvahs can fit in 450 cubic amot. Hani mili biribua, yam shasa soma aglohaya. Right, that's the calculations of a square. However, Shlomo's sea was in a circle, and that's what you're not accounting for. Mikdi, okay, well then let's assess based on that. Kamaruba yetala agul, how much greater is a square than a circle, Ruvia, but a fourth more area. La arba mea mea la mea esrim chamisha hani mea esrim chamisha habulehu. Right. So basically, our initial calculation of 100 mikvahs, bring that down to 75. Our initial calculation of
it's like this. Our initial calculation of when we initially were going on 400 amot, we should have said 300 amot, right? So take off a fourth. And so that can fit 100 mikvahs. And when we said 100 additional amot, that really should have been 75 amot, because take off a fourth, and that fits 25 mikvahs. But that leaves you with 125 mikvahs and not 150 mikvahs. Tani Rami Bar Yechezkel Yam Shasa Shlomo Shosh Amot Tachtonot Merubaot V'Shtayim Elyonot Agulot. So Rabbi Bar Yechezkel taught that it was actually the bottom, the base of it was square, and only at the top did it become circular. Nihid Ibcha Lo Matzid Amri. Right? So even though the opposite could not be said, right? You can't say that it was round on the top and square on the bottom, because it's clearly written that it is round. Even though you couldn't say it's round on the bottom and square on the top, it's clearly written that the rim is round, right? Still, you could say that you don't have to leave the remaining two amot. What we try to say is basically three amot on the bottom three amot were square and the top three amot were circle. You could just say that the bottom four amot were square and the top one amot was circle, and then all the math would work out properly. Lo slakadaitach. No, you couldn't do that. It's written alpaim bat yachir, bat kama havia shalosh sein dichtiv maser habat minakur dehavale shita alfe grive. Right, so you couldn't say that because we know that it contained 2,000 bat. So how much is a bat? Well, it's 3 saw, right? Because a bat is a tenth of a kor. A kor is 30 saw. So a bat is 3 saw. Right? V'hachtiv machzid batim shloshet alafim. So we'd have to say that the Yam Shel Shlomo held exactly 6,000 se'ah, which is 150 mikvahs. So you can't mess around with how many of the amas were square and how many of them were circle. You can't say there was 4 square amas and 1 circle amah. Had to be 3 square amas and 2 circle amas. That way it could reach exactly 6,000 se'ah to hold that 150 mikvahs. Right? But Haktiv Machzik Batim Shlosh Talafim. Right? But didn't we write that it could actually hold 3,000? So not 2,000 baht, which would be 6,000 se'ah, rather 3,000 baht, which would be 9,000 se'ah. Ahu le gucha. No, that's not talking about its contents, its volume that it possesses. That is, if you're putting dry things in it, including the heap, which is a third more than it contains. Amar Abaye Shma Mina Hai Gucha Tlat Aven. Abaye says, we can see from there that the heap is one third tacked on to the volume. Betana ve utnan nami. Right, and similarly, we taught Shida Teva Migdal. When it comes to a a closet or a box or a different type of closet, a cupboard, kaveret hakash or kaveret hakanim, different types of barrels made of straw or made out of reeds, or boris fin al zandrit, what they would hold water in a boat. Afal pi sheyesh lehen shulayim vehen machzikot arbeim sa belach shen kuraim meyavesh tehorin. Right, so even though they can hold a tremendous amount, like 40 sa, right, which is too kur, they are pure. Right, so because they're a receptacle and not built into the ground, they're still, because they're big enough, they're still not going to be considered vessels that can contract tuma, so they're always going to remain tahor. Now, the reason we're bringing that in is because the ratio between 40 se'ah of liquid and 2 kur is not exactly equal. However, 2 kur of dried goods, 2 kur is a measurement of dried goods that is exactly 1/3 more than 40 saw would be if that was a measurement of dried goods. So why do we add on a third more? Why do we go from 40 saw, which is 2/3 of 2 kur, just in different measurements? Because once you have dried goods, you can pile on top and you can hold an additional third. Now, all right, so we're going to stop here. However, I'm going to go back just to mention a quick thing I said earlier about the idea of pi, just because it's a really cool pshat. If you look, there's something called a kri and a ktiv. Sometimes the pasuk is written differently than it's pronounced. It's a mesora, it's a tradition of to write it in one way as opposed to pronounce it in the other way. So in Sefer Melachim, Shlomo Melech is, I guess, you know, we're given the measurements for Shlomo Melech's ritual bath. And it says that it is 30 amot around and 10 amot across. However, the circumference is described as a kav misaviv. Right? So when we get the circumference of 30 to 10, it's called a kav misaviv. Now that word kav is spelled kava. It's spelled kuf vav hey, and it's pronounced kav, right? Which is very interesting that we have a kri and a ktiv there. Now, if you do the math, and you can take out your calculators for this one, it's very interesting that we use exactly three, as our halachic measurement for whenever you have three in circumference, you have one in diameter, and that is halachically valid, even though it's not exactly precise in its measurements. So explains the Vilna Gaon as follows, right? Shlomo Melech knew a much more precise calculation of pi, and that's why there's a kri and a ktiv on kav as opposed to kava, because the gematria of kav is 106, and the gematria of kava is 111. Now the ratio between 106 and 111 is the exact same ratio to the fourth or fifth decimal point, I think, as 3 to 3.1415, which is near the beginning of pi, right? So, because they're the exact same ratio, what Shlomo Melech, or what the Gemara is trying to teach us is that even though the ratio between the diameter and circumference is not exactly 3 to 1, it's 3.1415 continuing to 1, you're still allowed to follow that, you're still allowed to follow the halacha that it's 3.1. Why? Because Shlomo Melech described it on a 3-to-1 scale, even though he knew that it was much more precise than that, right? Because the ratio between kav and kava by Shlomo Melech's pool is the exact same ratio between three and pi to each other, right? So essentially what it's trying to teach us is that 3 is close enough to pi in order to rely on that. So you do the math. By the way, there are no two numbers that when divided by each other, you get a closer number to pi. Doesn't exist. When 111 is divided by 106, right, there is no closer number, there's no closer figure to the ratio between pi and 3, and that's how the Gemara wants to indicate to us, according to the Vilna Gaon, that we're allowed to rely on 3, even though 3 isn't exactly pi, because Shlomo Melech hinted to us in the measurements of his mikvah.